right? He told me to trust in him, rely on him, depend on him. That means that I can have confidence to know that he's going to take care of me. Amen. Amen? Whatever your problem is today, I'm going to tell you the Lord can handle it. Amen? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you right now. I'm going to tell you, cast your cares on him right now. Whatever concerns you, whatever's got you weighted down, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means if you got a heavy load on you, get out from under that load. That's not the will of God. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. He said, come unto me, he said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, your mind, you just be agitated and frustrated. Oh, that's not the will of God. We resist the devil. We cast those cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out. That you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen? You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Breakthrough, everybody in the prison got delivered. Listen, the prisoners and the persons who kept the prisoners. Now that's a total breakthrough. Listen at the text, because I want you to go back through and see the word again. It says, verse 26, and suddenly. You see, when you make up your mind to wait on God, sometimes he don't take as long as you think he's going to take. It's just you've got to get at the point and say, Lord, however long it's take, I'm going to stay till you say well done, till you open the door, till you make the way, till you do what you said. And when you make your mind up to do that, God say, well, I ain't got to wait no longer. He's already convinced I am that I am. Now listen at this. 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Listen. Two things happened in this verse and the next verse. The prisoners on the inside were praying and not sleeping. The prison keeper was on the outside sleeping and not praying. But when God shook the whole situation up, he brought all of their attention to him. Now he picked up, put his hands under the foundations of the jail and just did a little. He didn't want to tear the jailhouse. He just wanted to rock it. Y'all ain't getting this. He just wanted a little jailhouse rock there. Just so that the comfortable would be discomforted and the discomforted would be comforted when they both came to know him and that it was him who was doing it. Listen at this now. So the text says again, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Supposing. That's a bad thing to do. That's like assuming. That's exactly what it meant. Listen, that the prisoners had been fled. Do you know why, when he woke up and saw all of the prison doors open, that he assumed wasn't no prisoners still in the cell? Because had he been in the cell, y'all not hear me, and the guard was sleeping, and the doors and the shackles were open and all, he would have escaped. And see, that's why you got to be careful about folk who call you stuff that they really are. Y'all ain't hear me. Don't get mad. Most times, folk shout out and project and they give to you a reality of what is in them. If they don't trust you, it's because they don't trust themselves. If they think you lying to them, it's because they maybe know that they're lying to themselves. Y'all not hearing me here. It was a projection. He supposed that they were gone, because if he had been in the same situation. That's why you got to be careful about folk who give you advice that don't come from the Lord. Child, could see if I was in your shoes. Or if that were me. Y'all not hearing me here. But sometime you ought to say, thank God. Because when you keep putting your hands on it, you keep taking God's hands off of it. When you take your hands off of it, you then allow God to put his hands on it. And that's what he did. Listen, because I want you to see, what was it that was so powerful that caused the effects inwardly and outwardly in the prison itself and in the prisoners and in the keeper of the prison? What was it? How did God choose to work? How did God choose to operate? How did God choose to move that would show everyone involved that he was sovereign all by himself? What would make the saved say thank you? And what would awe the unsaved and make them want to know this power and this person? What was it? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was his anointing. I said it was his anointing. Notice here, the anointing representing the presence of God, the power of God, didn't show up till after prayer and praise and patience or rest in the knowledge that God is faithful had already happened. His anointing came immediately and covered that whole situation. And so because of his anointing, it operated in his will, his power, his authority, operated in doing what he wanted it to do. And that's what you got to understand about the anointing of God. When God's anointing comes, it destroys yokes. It can put together a broken heart. It can mend anything that's broken and unfit. God's power and his anointing is so miraculous that if his anointing shows up, the enemy and all of his stuff has got to get out. That's why no church and no Christian ought not want to be in an anointed service. Because just being in the room when the anointing is flowing, the anointing destroys the yoke. And sometimes just being in the right place when God shows up and you can get some things fixed and some things brought and some things delivered and some things let go and all of these other things when the anointing is present. Now look at the effect of the anointing. First of all, let's look at that anointing on the prisoners themselves. First of all, when you look at this anointing and see how the deliverance came by this anointing, according to the text, one, arrested their attention.
Yeah.
If you want to know why this guard, this keeper, would have pulled out his sword and killed himself, it was because he was not in that place. And he was not under the influence of the anointing. And so the first thing he thought of was to kill himself, because he knew when the morning came and they discovered not only the prisoners that were kept in this secure place were gone, but all the other prisoners there were gone. They were going to kill him. So he said, why wait till morning comes? And he didn't understand the anointing that was there. Now, what would make a prisoner stay in his cell when the doors are open and the cuffs and the shackles are off and you're free to walk out but the anointing? The anointing, listen at this, arrested their attention. And by that I meant they were so captivated and awed by the power of God after the prayer and the praise and the patience of them waiting on God to do what he said. When they experienced the anointing of God, they didn't want to be outside the jail cells where the anointing wasn't. They'd rather be inside the jail cells where the anointing was. And can I tell you, when the anointing is present, it don't matter if you're worshiping in a $20 million building or one you're paying $200 rent on. If the anointing is present, that's where you want to be. Somebody ain't hearing me here. When the anointing is present, you can experience what God wants you to experience. Because when the anointing is there, can I tell you, all pretenders, all performers, and all perpetrators have no place when the anointing starts flowing. See, you ain't got to fake it when the anointing is there. You ain't got to do no dance trying to copy somebody else. When the anointing gets all over, he'll make your feet and your legs do some stuff you ain't never knew it could do. When the anointing is there, you're not worried about being cute and pretty, worrying about your mascara running, worrying about your hat falling off, worrying about your clothes getting messed up, worrying about who's looking at you. You ain't worried about none of that stuff. When the anointing starts flowing, you just start flowing. Because it's not you. When the anointing starts to flow, when the anointing starts to fall, you get caught up in this power of God that uses how God chooses to do to bless you in a way you never could be outside of that anointing. Folk in the Word have been delivered just because they were in the place the Word went forth. The anointing was on the Word and they got their healing just sitting there. Didn't say a prayer, didn't say, Lord, heal me, didn't say, Lord, deliver, didn't say none of that stuff. Bible said God sent his word and he healed them. He delivered them from all their destructions on the anointing of his word. Now listen at this, sit down, listen. So they were arrested in their attention span. Look at God. See, that's what happens when the anointing flow, it arrests your attention till you stop watching your clock. And you watch. And it gets so good and you look up and the time has flown, that's because your attention has been arrested. Y'all not hear me. But when the anointing isn't flowing, you just keep on looking, you keep on watching. Lord, when he gonna be through? Lord, when they gonna stop singing? Lord, I got to get out of here. Lord, I wish I had some real folk in the church today. the second thing I want to draw your attention to, because it's all in the text, not only was their attention arrested, listen to this, but the anointing affected their attitude. The anointing affected their attitude. The anointing not only arrested their attention, but the anointing affected their attitude. Because the anointing will do that to you. You don't think like you want to think when the anointing is flowing. You think the way God wants you to think. And that's according to his word. How many times, I want you to just be real with me in your own spirit. How many times when the anointing has been flowing and you've been caught up in it and you've experienced it, it brings a joy and a peace on the inside of you, and even your worst enemy don't even bother you. That hellish husband, that wicked wife, those devilish children, I mean that no good boss, that I wish I had somebody here. None of that bothers you till you get out the anointing. And you're driving home and that anointing lifts up off you because you start thinking about worldly stuff, and then you... Or you dread going to work that Monday because the anointing is not there. But you've got to understand, the anointing rests upon those who trust the anointed one, who's Jesus Christ. And his anointing rests in and on them as they walk in his word and in his will and in his way. And Sunday morning, you can get a part of the corporate anointing, but you ought to seek your own personal anointing that takes you through the week and brings you back here on Sunday. It affected their attitude. They wanted to be free, but they didn't want to be loose. Only. See, they could have gotten out of the doors because the doors were open and they could have been loosed, but they would not have been free. And their attitude changed because they wanted some of this anointing and they wanted this word that had been delivered and they wanted what they had felt because they knew it was real. And their attitude was one of gratitude. And the attitude was one of getting to know this anointing better. And to do that, they had to know the anointed one, who is Jesus the Christ. They wanted to know these men better and what they possessed. And why what they possessed was so powerful. Because they didn't understand the anointed, they just experienced it. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, even before you ever understand it, you experience it. And once you truly experience it, you want to keep on experiencing. And you want to rise above it being an experience to being a lifestyle where you walk in the anointed, talk in the anointing. But then the last thing I want to tell you about this is that the anointing altered their actions. It altered their actions. You see, because when the anointing came down and arrested their attention, the attention was no longer on the things of the flesh, but they were then held to a higher level into the things of the Spirit. And once they got into the area and arena of the Spirit and saw how much more wonderful those things were and how much more glorious those things were, it adjusted their attitude, and their attitude was no longer thinking on how they were going to get out and get over and get on and all of these things. Their attitude was now, how can I get more of this? How can I receive this kind of anointing in my life? How can I want something far better than escaping and even life itself? And so ultimately, it altered their actions so much so that they didn't operate in the flesh, but they then operated in the Spirit. Because here was the true reality of this thing. God opened up the sails and brought forth and presented his anointing to give them a choice. And listen at this, they were still guilty. There were some still murderers, some still robbers and muggers, rapists and all other kind of heinous criminals and crimes committed. They were all of these things still. So God could not just override the justice system and do what he wanted to do, even though he could, because he's God. But because he's a just God, he had to deal with things in a just way. He was not opening up the jail cells for them to come out. He was opening up the jail cells for them to invite him in. Y'all ain't hearing me, yeah? Sometimes you don't understand. God can't do what he needs to do until you
let him in. And he opened up the cells and said, what do you want to do? Do you want to run out? Or do you want me to come in and fellowship with you? And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, if you've ever experienced the anointing on that level, nothing else matters more. I understand the old saints, when without their theological ramifications and understanding, had the Spirit of God dealing with them, had an anointing to pass over them, experienced God's presence, and they said, you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Because if you get Jesus, who is the anointed one, then you get his anointing that is upon him and that covers you. And truly you have everything there is to have in the anointing. It was the anointing, my brothers and sisters. And what's the purpose of making you understand this? Because the story was not just about Paul and Silas locked in a prison and other prisoners heard it and all the jail cells were open in a period in Bible antiquity. That's not what I'm telling you that for. I'm telling you this now to help you know the same God then who operated in his anointing is the same God now who operates in his anointing. And what he's done once, he can do again, for the word is an example unto us and to show us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you understand, God still can do whatever he chooses to do. And when you seek him, you also seek his anointing, and God's power can conquer and control and can change any condition. Listen at this, and I'm closing, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says, but Paul, verse 28, cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now, could you imagine how miraculous this was to the jailer who wakes up out of his sleep and sees all of the jail doors open, supposing and assuming that all the men were there, gone, and Paul cries out, don't do yourself no harm, because if we wanted to kill you, you'd be dead by now. Don't hurt yourself. And can I tell you, when you're not under the anointing, most times the devil don't have to kill you. You can do that kind of mess by yourself. Now, the devil is devious, he's dirty, he's low down, but a whole lot of stuff devil ain't made you do, you did because you wanted to do. Now, listen at this. The Bible says, verse 29, then he called for a light. That's for confirmation. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. You know why he fell down before Paul and Silas? Because the anointing was still flowing and they could see, he could see that the anointing was all over them. And he humbled himself before these anointed men of God. The Bible says, and brought them out. Look at that. Now, when the anointing is on you, you ain't got to break out. God will deliver you out in his timing. Listen at this. Look at the integrity and the character of these men under the anointing of God. Even the robbers didn't run. The murderers, the rapists, all of these evil men, none of them did anything. They did not. They'd rather stay where the anointing was than to go back in the lifestyle that they had once and previously lived. And look at what God does under the anointing. Look at what the Bible says. And brought them out, verse 30, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now listen at this. If these saved men had not gone in an unsaved prison, the other prisoners that heard him and the prison keepers who had heard him would not have been saved if they had not been in the place where God could use their testimony and their witness and the preaching of the gospel to save those who would come to the Lord. Look at what the next verse says. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who has done all of this. It's his anointing that has done this. And thou shalt be saved and thy house. Verse 32 says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, preached the gospel, and to all that were in the house. Verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, can I tell you, between midnight and morning, that was a whole lot that went on in the text.
He could have sang like that, said like that singer said, I didn't sleep at all last night. Y'all don't hear me yet. But what a wonderful change that had come over him. Paul and them had been brought out of the jailhouse. They got their stripes washed down. And he said, well, while you're washing my stripes down, let me wash your sins down. Give me some water. And he baptized them right there that night. Listen at the text. The Bible says, and when he had brought them into his house, from the jailhouse to his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. My brothers and sisters, the anointing is so wonderful. The anointing is so powerful. The anointing is so awesome that if you ever get in the presence of God and experience his anointing, wonderful changes will happen to you, through you, in you, for you, with you. If you just get in that place where God's anointing is flowing in your life, great and wonderful things will God do for you. And all you've got to do is learn how to pray, praise, and be patient. Give the Lord a hand of praise. The doors of the church are open today. The doors of the church are open. Somebody here today, whoever you are, God wants you to know that he's still the same miracle working God, still the same sovereign God, still does what he's saying he'll do. Some of you are experiencing some difficult days and some difficult times in your life. But may I suggest to you that this supernatural, this divine breakthrough is waiting on you. God wants you to make some choices today. Trust him. He says in his word, trust, trust, trust. If you trust him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, his word says he will direct your paths. Today, your choice is to accept or to reject Jesus. It's your choice. What God wants to do in you, it's no accident. It was no accident that Paul and Silas was put in prison when they were put in prison. Some of you are experiencing a prison situation that God wants to bring a breakthrough in it for you if you trust him today. Listen, that deliverance came in the most important place, in their soul, in their spirit. They could deal with the sentence because they had it right in the spirit, in their soul. This anointing is present today through Jesus Christ. If you'll accept him, if he's speaking to you and calling you to come now, saints are praying for you right now. Would you simply say, Lord, I come. I receive what you have for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now, my brother, my sister, this is our last appeal. This call very well may be your last opportunity. Bless you. God bless you. Come on. Is there another? Saints are praying right now. Saints are praying right now. Whoever you are, if God's Spirit is speaking to you right now, remember that the choice is yours. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Saints are praying. Is there another? Is there another? It's whether or not you want to be made free or do you want to be set free. Because to be set free means that you run the risk of being bound again.
But when you're made free, Jesus said, you're free indeed. Nobody can put you in bondage again. But the only way you can experience that